Thank you, Stuart, and good morning. It's afternoon now, good afternoon, I think. It's just a blessing to be able to share with you this morning the Word of God. I count myself really blessed. I do not take this privilege for granted, and I thank you for coming to listen to God's Word today. As you know, in the last few weeks, we've been talking about songs from the book of Luke. And today we're going to be continuing with that. I will be sharing with you the song of Simeon from Luke chapter 2 and from verse 22 to 35. I'm just going to read from here, from verse 22. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the Lord required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So like I said, this is the song of Simeon, and we're just going to be looking at this. I will look at it under three subheadings. Number one, the promise of the Savior, the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit, and then the purpose and mission of the Savior. You know, there are several songs in the Bible, at least 185 songs in the Bible, and you know, the largest of these songs are in Psalm. So the other books, the Song of Songs, it's probably the best love song a lot of people think this is a weird book, but it's a great book of the love that Jesus has for his church. Lamentation, the Song of Mourning the fall of Jerusalem. So at least 80% of all the songs in the Bible are in Psalms. And in Psalms, you have songs of praise, worship, thanksgiving, lament, mourning, supplication, repentance, and so on. It contains every song theme you can ever imagine. And the longest is Psalm 119. The song is a powerful tool, and it's something that is common to most cultures. I have sung for different events and situations. So in the Bible that Moses sang, Miriam, Joshua, Samson, Hannah, they all sang. Simeon sang a song of fulfillment. He saw what he had been waiting for fulfilled. His song of joy. He sang when he witnessed the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel, his promise to the world. You know, since the fall of man in the garden, God already God started the work of the plan of salvation. He started to unveil it in the garden. In Genesis 3, verse 15, it said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." So there, God began to reveal his plan to save man, his plan of salvation. And throughout the Old Testament, there are several figures of the Messiah and several promises of the Messiah and figures of salvation that we see if we look through the Bible properly. For instance, during the flood, God saved Noah and his family from the flood. That's his type of salvation. Rescued Lot and his family is his type of salvation. Isaac, God promised Isaac, the son of promise. Genesis 22, verse 18, says, "Through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And that is the promise, direct promise of the Messiah. Joseph and the famine. God used Joseph. Joseph is a type of Christ to save Israel from famine. Moses, in taking the people out of the of Egypt, sin is a kind of is Egypt. Taken out of Egypt and brought unto Christ. So bringing them out was a type of salvation. And even going through the Red Sea, if you read even in the book of Hebrews, it talked about that is a type of salvation. Joshua, taking the people to the promised land. Joshua is a Hebrew name. Yehoshua means God is a deliverer. Joshua is a type of Jesus, a type of Jesus. Joseph, a type of Jesus. So, and Moses even said in Deuteronomy 18, verse 17 to 18, "The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command you." This was an express promise of the Messiah, of Jesus. Now, several prophets detailed the coming of the Savior, including where he will be born, how he will be born, what his name will be, his lineage, his life, ministry, his death, the kind of death he was going to die, and how he was going to be betrayed. Everything is detailed in prophecy. I'll just look at a few of them. If I can have the first slide, please. Right. So that's the promise that God gave through Abraham. "And through your offspring, all the nations on earth will be blessed." That was talking expressly about Jesus that is coming. That's about 1,500 to 1,300 years before Christ was born. And next one, please. This is a promise about Jesus being a descendant of Jacob. "A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel." It's about 1,466, about 1,300 years average before Jesus was born. And next one, please. So this is about the virgin birth in Isaiah 7, verse 14, about 740 years before Jesus was born. Next one, please. Next slide. Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7, the most popular of these prophecies. Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7. So this talks about how Jesus will be born a child, a son will be born to us, wonderful counselor, mighty God. And that was about 740 years before he was born. And then the next slide, please. This is a prophecy from Prophet Micah about how he will be born in Bethlehem. So we see these things, just a few of them, detailed in prophecy. And these things happen hundreds of years, over 1,000 years. And you can see God bringing to pass in detail, specific detail, promises of over 1,000 years. And we see this man, Simeon, who was in Jerusalem, and nobody knew his whole mission in life was to see the Messiah born. That was his whole mission. And when he saw the Messiah born, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit, he was moved by the Holy Spirit, went to the temple, he saw it, and he was able to discern by the Holy Spirit that this is the Messiah that has been born. and sang a song of fulfillment, a song of joy at being alive to see God's promise. And he said, now may your servant depart in peace. There's nothing more in life than a man feeling fulfilled. You see, we can have wealth and everything else. They don't give us fulfillment. Fulfillment comes from actually finishing what God has planned for us and doing what God has planned for us to do. So this was what happened with Simeon. He saw it and he rejoiced and he said, now may your servant depart in peace. I wanted to just encourage you in God and in God's word to know that whatever God has promised you will happen, no matter how long it takes. For some of these promises we've seen, it took over 1,000 years. And by the Holy Spirit, Simeon waited and was expectant. And between the time that the last prophet, Malachi, between that time and the birth of the Messiah, there were about 400 years of silence. That there was no prophecy. Nothing was happening. Yet he still believed. He still held on to God's promises. So I want to encourage you, whatever God has spoken to you, whether through his word, whether it's spoken to you directly, spoken to your heart, it may take long. You may think it's not happening again, but I want to assure you, in God's word, it will happen. It's not human being that's promised, it's God. And God is not a man. Peter said, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. He's not slack. God, I tell my children sometimes, are there things that I've promised to do for you that I haven't done, that I don't do? Okay, they're not here. Sometimes I may not do it, not because I don't want to do it, but I don't have the capacity to do it. Right? It's not because I've lied to them. Okay, I've got one of them here. It's not because I've lied to you. It's because I don't have the capacity. But God has both the capacity and the character to do what he says he will do. God is faithful. God is faithful. We just need to hold on to God's word. Whatever God said to you about your children, whatever God says to you about your life, your ministry, and what God has said about this church, it will happen. Sometimes there may be turbulence on the way, but it will happen because it's not man that said it. And you know, when God's plan is about to happen, sometimes a lot of things happen that actually we begin to doubt. Is what God said truly going to happen? But that's when the time for it to be fulfilled is near. That's how it works in God's word, in God's way. So God's promise will happen. God's promise will be fulfilled. He is not a man, he is God. And those 1,000 years we see to him is a day. It's just one day. I was sharing with the children in the Eagles the other week, and I said, Elisha said, when there was famine in Samaria, he said to them, this time tomorrow, there will be plenty of food. And then the officer said, this will be famine in the land for so long. Who are you to say? But this, how is that going to happen? If God was even to open the windows of heaven, it's not going to happen. Elisha said, "You, because you don't believe, you only see with your eyes. You won't partake of it." And then we know the rest of the story. The next day, God made the host of the enemy to hear sounds of mighty armies rushing towards them. And they ran away, left all their food and everything. And the lepers thought, what are we doing here? If we stay here, we die of hunger. If we go to the camp of the enemy, they kill us. Let us take the risk. And they went there. They saw they've disappeared. They thought it was a joke. And eventually they realized it wasn't. So they saw a lot of food and they ate. They first ate to the full. And then they said, what are we doing here? This is not good. Let's go to the town. Let's go and share this great news. And that's how we must share the good news. We just shouldn't eat the good news alone. We must share the good news. So they went and shared the good news. And the people were around. You know what happened in football stadiums? When people are rushing in, they just open the gate at once and people rushing. People can be stampeded. That's what happened. The man that didn't believe was, he was trampled upon and he died because he didn't believe God's word. Now that took 2 days for that prophecy to happen. Some take 1,000 years. It doesn't matter how long it takes. What matters is who has promised. Is God, is not a man. So what God has promised, it will happen. Let's hold on to the word of God. And the person of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says from verse 25, 25, I read from here. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. I'll stop from there. Now, it's easy for you to doubt what you hear. Sometimes you hear God. Sometimes it's easy to doubt when the reality is in contrast to what God is saying. Now, for 400 years, there had not been prophecy. Nothing has happened. And then the Holy Spirit moved him. You see, the Messiah has been born. Go to the temple. But he believed it. And he went into the temple. He believed the word of God. He went to the temple. And he saw it as God has promised. We don't know much about Simeon. All we know about is an elderly man, a righteous man. By the Holy Spirit, he waited and hoped that he would see the Messiah. Unlike the scribes and Pharisees of the time, who were lettered in the law, and the prophet, who did not discern the Savior, he recognized and proclaimed him a Savior. He died a fulfilled man. He said, "Now may your servant depart in peace." Just like Jacob, when he saw Joseph, he never thought he was going to see Joseph again. He saw Joseph. Is Joseph alive? Now I'm going to see him, and then I'm ready to die. And Jesus himself told his disciples that his time was at hand. And he was going to be offered for us. Paul said, "He's finished his course. He's finished the race. He lived a fulfilled life." The only way to live a fulfilled life is by relying on the Holy Spirit. Is by waiting on the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ came. He came as a baby. Now he's coming as a lion, as a king. Right? The only way for us to be able to wait patiently in anticipation of Christ's coming is by the Holy Spirit. Is by relying on the Holy Spirit. Only by the Holy Spirit can we wait in anticipation of his second coming. And we will also be able to discern the times by the Holy Spirit. Of course, Jesus said nobody knows the time or the hour. But when we rely on the Holy Spirit, when we wait on the Holy Spirit, we can discern the times. We can discern the signs. The Holy Spirit did not reside on the believers at the time because Jesus had not been glorified. But after his death and his resurrection, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said to his disciples, But very truly I say to you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. John 16, verse 7. It is not possible for us to live an effective Christian life without the help of the Holy Spirit. The plan of God was Jesus came, he left, the Holy Spirit came to help us. The Holy Spirit is called Helper. That was the plan of God, for us to be filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit to be able to continue what Jesus had done. Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, declared the mission of Jesus. It is only by the Holy Spirit we can also declare the mission that Jesus came to fulfill. Simeon proclaimed the mission of Jesus. Jesus himself, in Luke 4, verse 18 to 21, proclaimed the mission, affirmed the mission that Simeon introduced. So the purpose and mission of the Savior now, that's in Luke 2, verse 30 to 35. Simeon introduced it, and Jesus affirmed it in Luke 18, verse 21. Can I have the next slide, please? So, this is a description. This is the summary of the mission of Jesus. Verse 18, Luke 4 from verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God recreated us in Christ to continue this mission. That was what God did. He recreated us. When we come to Christ, the Spirit of God come into us and start the work of recreation. We are recreated as Christians. Can I have the next slide, please? So this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which I began to have some insight into this verse not long ago. This is an amazing verse, amazing scripture, amplified version. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set, so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he had prearranged and made ready for us. This verse is talking about what happened from the day we become Christians. A work of recreation starts in us. A work of recreation. A work of renewal. A work of spiritual transformation begins to happen in us. If you can bring up the next slide, please. Now, who know what this amazing cathedral is? Who know where it is? And which cathedral it is? Anybody know? Right, next slide, please. Thank you very much. That's it. So that's the cathedral. I'm not too much into art, but that's an amazing cathedral. It's an amazing art, work of art. It took about 200 years, said, to complete it. Now, God says we are a work of art. That took about 200 years. And God, it doesn't matter how long it takes, God keep working on us. He said we are the best work of art. The best artwork. Not any engineer, not any person, any artist. It's working on it, on you. It's God himself that is working on you and is modeling you and is shaping you. Sometimes some things happen in our lives. We think this is horrible, this is terrible. It's part of his work. It's part of the work he is doing in our lives. He's a great, great work, great worker doing this great work in our lives. So if we let God, God is continuing to work. And this work will not end until Jesus comes, until our last day. He keeps doing the work. So the purpose of God is for us to be molded in his image, filled with the Spirit, so that we can continue the mission of Jesus. The mission in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. So it is by the Spirit on us. The Spirit was on Jesus. He said, because he has anointed me, he wants to anoint us, so that we can proclaim the good news. He's doing a work of recreation in us. We are a master work of art. We are a work of art. He's working in us, transforming us spiritually. He's renewing us, making us ready to be used for good works. And every time you open the Bible, every time you are in prayer, in worship, you are giving God opportunity to fill you with his Spirit. You are giving God opportunity to recreate you, to renew you, to change you into his image. That's what is happening. And God wants us to be filled. You know, we are in a broken world. It's a broken world that we are in. If you look around you, you know it's a broken world. It's a world where what is evil is relative now. It depends on you. It depends on what you think. What you think is evil is relative. You know, many years ago, black is black. Everyone knows what black is. But now you can define black in many ways. You see, it depends on who is looking at it. You can call black, you can say it's gray, right? Many years ago. So, but it's easy in those days. Things everybody almost understand when something is wrong. But now what is wrong is relative. And the Bible says, woe to him who calls good evil. A lot of people call evil things. They call it good. Now I can wake up tomorrow morning and say I'm a cat. And everybody must agree that I'm a cat. That's the world we live in now. So we are in a broken world, but the word of God does not change. The word of God is the same, it's consistent. And I shared in the first service, I went to a shop, I asked that, was buying some items. I didn't take trolley, so I was putting those items together. And so this girl came, she must be about 18 or 19, came with the mom, pushing the trolley, and they came there, and they took one of the items. I thought she knew I put them there, right? But I wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt. I said, I put those things there. She just ignored me and just continued. And the mom said, he said he put them there. Can you return them? And then reluctantly, she brought them back. I wasn't angry, but I was sad. I was sad for the time we live in. I was sad. And you know, we saw the statistics the other time, how the number of Christians, the percentage has dwindled so much in this country, right? When we depart from God, the moral fabric of the society collapses. It breaks down, right? That's what we see. So when I saw that, what the girl did, I just thought about my children. Say, will my children do this? I mean, let me assume she didn't hear me. She didn't know I put them there. But I told her. She just ignored me and just continued going. If the mom was not there, she would have just gone. I've just leave her and just look for something else. So we are in a world that the moral fabric has broken down. We are in a broken world. I work in health, and there are things we see in young people, 12, 13-year-old. I can't be talking about them. The world, the moral fabric is broken down. We are in a broken world, and that's why Jesus came. That's why there is Christmas. That's why there is Christmas. So we need the Spirit of the Lord upon us. We need the anointing of the Spirit of God so we can proclaim the good news, so we can fix the brokenness, so we can free the prisoners, so we can proclaim recovery of sight to the blind, so we can set the oppressed free, so we can proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The only way to receive freedom is through Christmas, through Jesus, through what he came to do. And we are the one that God will use. We are the instrument. And the way to use us is first, he works on us as a work of art by the Holy Spirit. And then we are filled with the Spirit of God. And through the Spirit, we can be a blessing. Through the Spirit, we can go out to fulfill this mission. And that is the whole plan. That's the whole agenda of God for us at Christmas. And as Simeon proclaimed, as he proclaimed by the Spirit, the birth of the Savior and proclaim his mission, God wants us to also proclaim. He wants us to proclaim the mission. He wants us to proclaim what Christ has done. He wants us to carry on the work that Jesus has done. But we cannot do this unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until you have clothed with power from on high. Now, even after the day of Pentecost, we know there was a time where they were persecuted, they were beaten, and then they came together and they were praying and said, God, give us boldness to proclaim your word. And we know that the Bible says, while they were praying, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So, the filling of the Holy Spirit is ongoing. It's a continuous thing. So we need to continue to be hungry, to be filled with God's Spirit. In this kingdom, in the kingdom, the only way things get done is by the Holy Spirit. And the level of our effectiveness as Christians is directly related to how much we are filled with the Spirit, how much the Holy Spirit is upon us. The Holy Spirit upon Simeon, that's how he was able to discern and how he was able to proclaim the birth of the Savior. So the filling of the Spirit of God in our lives is absolutely essential and critical to carrying on the mission that Jesus started, that he left us to continue. And the plan of God, the plan of Jesus was there will be several Jesuses, millions of Jesuses, while Jesus has left to continue to carry on his mission. So this is the plan of God. This is Christmas. And I want to encourage and challenge us to hunger, to crave for the filling of God's Spirit. And the Bible says those who are hungry after righteousness will be filled. And we have a great promise in God's word in Jeremiah. He said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When we seek God, God can fill us. When we seek God, God can use us. He can fill us with his glory and fill us with his power. That is what this world lacks. That's what we need. And in this country, the way to turn things around is to seek the filling of the Spirit of God and allow the work of recreation to continue in us so that we can reach out and transform our society, transform this generation. I'm going to just, in rounding up, I'll just re-emphasize the three items I talked about. The first, when God makes a promise to you, he will fulfill it. No matter how long it takes, no matter how unrealistic it looks to you, the promise of God will stand. He's not a man, God is God. He's God. I shared in the first service, God made gave me a word about 10 years ago. It's only about 4 or 5 months ago, God began to speak to me about it again, and I began to see the fulfillment of what God said. Okay, so it doesn't matter how long it takes, God's word will come to pass. Secondly, we must be filled with the Spirit. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And finally, God is recreating us. He's transforming us. He's renewing us to carry on the work. To carry on the work of proclaiming the good news. The work of proclaiming freedom to the prisoners. The work of proclaiming recovery of sight to the blind. Setting free the oppressed. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Only the word of God can set the oppressed free. Only the word of God, only the gospel, only Jesus can set free this generation. The generation that think they don't need God. This is what the word needs, the word. And we have the word. I would like the worship team to come up. And I would like us to just take some moment to reflect. Reflect on what God has been doing in our lives. The transforming word that has happened in your heart, you may not notice it because nothing has physically changed in you, but there is a change that God is working on and is continuous until Jesus comes. Let us pray. I just want you to take a moment in your heart to be grateful to God for the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Take a moment to give thanks for Christmas. A moment to give thanks for the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you are here, you haven't opened your heart to Jesus, this is the best time to open your heart and let Jesus come in. Because Jesus would have come even if it was because of you, only one person. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his word into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Just give thanks, and if you have not opened your heart to Jesus, ask him to come into your heart. And I want you to ponder in your heart how the Holy Spirit can help you this Christmas to present Jesus to someone. It might be one person. It might be in your Christmas gathering or visit to family or family visit you. How can I present Jesus to someone this Christmas? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your precious living word. Thank you for your word. The word that you've given to us, your word of promise, the covenant that you've given to us, the covenant that was fulfilled in Jesus, fulfilling his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. Thank you for the blessed ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send a helper. You said, which of you will your son ask for fish? And you will give a serpent. Which of you will your son ask for bread? You will give a stone. Lord, we ask for the filling of your Spirit in our lives so that we can do the work that Jesus left. We ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit, the filling of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We ask that you will fill us with your Spirit. We ask that the transforming work of the Holy Spirit will be intensified in our lives. We ask that you will help us to know that whatever you say, you will do. It doesn't matter how many years it takes. Lord, help us to hold on to your word. Help us to hold on to your promises. And in the brokenness of our world, in the brokenness of our society, help us to rely on your Spirit. To be able to present Christ, to be able to present it, the solution, to be able to present the light of Jesus to our generation, to this world. We pray as we enjoy the moment of Christmas, help us that we present Jesus. We present Jesus to people around us. We present Jesus to people in our community. And we give you thanks because the work that you are doing in our life, we know will be consummated in the coming of the Savior. In the second time. And you will, your Spirit will help us to live and wait in anticipation of the second coming of the Messiah. And our life will be patterned. Our life will be influenced by the anticipation of the coming of Messiah. We praise you. We pray for your church. And your blessing will remain upon your church. I ask that you fill us again with your Spirit as a church. And the word you've given to this church many years ago. Because you said you will enlarge the tent, the place of our dwelling. We know you will bring it to pass because it was you that said it. It's not a man. We wait for you patiently by your Holy Spirit, trusting you to fulfill your promises. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.